Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday, and we got our morning started with the socially conscious segment, and our girl Vivian talked about Trump says that if he gets back in office, he is going to free all the people, well, most of them, that were convicted and sentenced to do some jail time for the January 6th event. Yep. Well, you know what? I was thinking, considering that they keep saying that he's the reason behind this whole insurrection, wouldn't you go back and let the people go? Yeah. Well, let's just hope he doesn't even get in office again. You know, that in and of itself is just a hard pill to swallow. Our girl Vivian also talked about all of the New York City migrants that refuse to take the offer to go someplace else. And, you know, another thing that makes you just shake your head, because it's like, why are you so adamant about staying in New York City? Now, I don't know if the saying, if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere, you know, comes into play. But maybe that's what it is, because I can't imagine what in the world you are just so adamant about being in New York City is about. Well, our story for the day was about the woman who had a boyfriend that bet her that if she lost weight, he would marry her. Yeah, I guess the opposite side says that if she didn't lose weight, that he wouldn't marry her. I don't know. But I did, you know, I did catch up with this conversation on this TikTok tale. And, you know, we had a split TikTok response. Some ladies, you know, they was like, well, you know what? I'm not taking that ultimatum. You know, if he can't marry me at my biggest, I don't need him at my smallest. And then you had the flip side of the coin where women said, I like that he did that instead of leaving her. Now, I found very interesting. You know, you like that he offered her the bet that if she lost weight, he'd marry her, opposed to leaving her because she's big. Gives you something to think about. So it kind of launched the conversation that we had yesterday. And this was a list that the men compiled. And these are all the women that they said they do not want to marry. Well, they started off with Miss Playing Games with My Heart Woman. And, you know, who wants somebody who's going to play games? Period. Like Elder Nightisha said, I agree. And especially playing with your heart. That's something that we just can't do. What about Miss Suspiciously Jealous Woman? You know, I agree with the ladies. You know, you're talking about somebody who is suspiciously jealous. That means that every time you turn around, she's going to be popping up in conversations, in people, places, and things. Yeah, because she's jealous. And, if you see a jealous woman coming your way, you better direct her to God fast. Which means, men, that you're going to have to be in the Lord. Yeah, because that there, that's going to be a woman who's going to give you a run for your money. Especially the woman that they don't want to marry called Miss I Live For You And I Have Nothing Else Going On Woman. Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't know who's going to be worse. The Miss Suspiciously Jealous Woman or the Miss I Live For You And I Have Nothing Else To Go On. I can't even say it all at the same time. Yeah. You know, Shantice had me laughing yesterday. She said, you know, what we doing? Where we going? What we reading? What we looking at? Oh, just as she was running the wee list, I was running for the dough. Because one thing you have to think about, a man who has nothing else to do, he has nothing else going on, he gonna sit and play games, he gonna sit and look at TV, he gonna lounge around, he ain't gonna do nothing. But a woman who has nothing else to do, she gonna want to be in your everything. Yep, trust me when I tell you. So I don't know if, you know, you definitely want to get rid of that woman. So that's what we talked about yesterday. That's how we spent our Wow Wednesday. And you definitely want to go back and listen because it was quite filled. The ladies did a fantastic job. So you definitely want to catch up on whatever it is you missed. Okay? Okay. Well, let me warn you that today we're having a short show. I have some important business that I have to tend to. So we're going to be clocking out a little early. So you better run and go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Every week in Ohio, 3 babies die in unsafe sleep environments, including adult beds, couches, and chairs. Remember the ABCs of safe sleep. Alone, share the room, not a bed. Back, babies on their back are less likely to choke. Crib, empty cribs are safest. No bumper pads or pillows. Every baby, every sleep. Learn why the ABCs are safest from the Ohio Department of Health at safesleep.ohio.gov.
Thank you.
morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. I hope you're doing well this morning, because we are underway into Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health, you know, our physical health, emotional health, mental health, spiritual health, monetary health. Yeah, we try to get it all done. And you know how we start our Thursday mornings. We start our Thursday mornings with a health tip. So, I came across an article that was quite interesting. And it talks about some surgeon information. And as I have been under the knife several times, I was like, wow, what do the surgeons have to say? They've got some confessions that they say, what's really going on behind the scenes? And I kind of held my breath. I was like, oh, Lord, do I really got to get on my knees now and give you thanks for what you done brought me through? Because, you know, when you are, you know, under that anesthesia, anything can go on, you know, and when you come through a surgery, I don't care how minor this surgery is supposed to be, it's a lot you have to give thanks for, because, you know, I can only imagine, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. And come to think of it, I think I might want to get someone on the show who can talk about that. And I don't know if they're going to have to put, you know how we have to put the filter over the voice? Because they might be telling some secrets. But in the absence of that real person telling the story, I am going to read some of this stuff that they have confessed about that really goes on behind the scenes. And I hope y'all don't have to pick me up off the floor, because I don't have a clue as to why. I didn't look. I didn't look, y'all, because, you know, I like my responses to be authentic. So I'm hearing it and reading it at the same time. So, one surgeon says, there are massive all caps feuds. It's a super competitive industry. So stuff gets petty. Once, two doctors started taking shots at each other during a surgery. One of them told the other he'd beat him up if he were younger. It was wild. Thank your operating room nurses, everyone, because sometimes we are the only thing keeping the fights from getting physical. Okay, there's another one. My plumber gets paid more for a 30-minute check of a dripping faucet than your insurance pays me to take out your gallbladder. Wow. Now, that's surprising, because we always hear that the surgeons get, like, buku bucks. Wow. Where are you working at? All right. It is not infrequent that we have flies and other insects in the operating room. A colleague whacked a fly in the sterile field with a sponge and flicked it all into a kick bucket. Oh, the sterile field. Oh, my gosh. All right, we got a secret about surgeons is when we're doing our job, people blank out, and sometimes we'll grab a quick snack for a quick break, something that is gross to me but refreshing to others. Well, listen, I can't tell you how many times I was the first one on the operating table at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So, Lord have mercy. I hope they got something to eat before they started with me. Because I was tired and was happy to go back to sleep when I got on the table. So can you imagine? They have to get hungry sometimes. Oh, my goodness gracious. People getting their menstrual cycle under anesthesia is more common than you'd expect. Wow. Well, I guess your body don't shut down. Before an abdominal surgery, we have to clean out your belly button. It is very common and gross to find smelly gunk. More than once, I have found the bugs. Wow. Mm. As a surgeon, I work an extra 8 hours every weekend. I am off to catch up on documentation. The majority of my time is spent on garbage instead of patient care. It is killing me. Mm. All right, what else are we talking about? We get called to pull things out of buttonhole. Oh, no, I just said that wrong. We get called to pull things out of buttholes often. Just because it fits in that way doesn't mean it will come out that way. Wow. I always wondered about that. Because I read an article one time about, you know, people who have explored with putting things in, you know, private areas that got stuck. Wow. All right. Patients don't realize the hours of training and review and number of team members it takes to make surgeries safe, from the sterile environment of the rooms to team safety checks and more. Every team member is completely freaked out about the possibility of a surgical complication. When it does happen, although rarely, this is reviewed extensively in committee meetings and often, as it should, affect the careers of those involved. The only comparable industries like this are the air travel industry, biotech, and perhaps NASA. I can only imagine. I can only imagine sometimes, you know, when you're going for one thing, there's something else that you experience. And you got to, like, think on your feet. So, y'all better thank God for Jesus. Because I tell you, I can't even imagine some of these challenges. When something goes wrong during or after a surgery, it affects us deeply. What a patient sometimes sees as cold or heartless is usually just a surgeon trying to put on a professional face so they can keep doing their job and not get burned out. I don't know one single other surgeon who isn't impacted by guilt and sadness after a complication. Pray, y'all. Pray. If you get shot, stabbed, or in a bad car accident, you usually will end up in the trauma bay. You get put on a hard plastic board. About 20 people surround you. We cut off your clothes, stick you with needles, and get x-rays and ultrasounds, all usually in under 5 minutes. And I have to tell you, I have never gotten shot or stabbed or in a bad car accident, but I have been in a situation where they were like, yo, we got to get you on this table in 20 minutes. And I tell you, what they're describing right now is for real. They start pulling off your clothes. They put stuff on your head. They're trying to get you. Man, I will never forget that experience. Everybody's pulling at you, asking you questions. How much you got in your wallet? What kind of ID do you have? You got any credit cards? And somebody said, well, what, you know, who can we call? Oh, yeah, it goes down just like that. And you better be paying attention, because if you slip and answer the wrong way to anybody, you don't even know what you said half the time afterwards. Like, what did I tell that security guard? Oh, well, she asked me my last name. What did I tell my last name? Yeah, it goes down just like that. I can imagine. And it's not it wasn't scary to me. It was just busy. It was just busy. It was like, wow, all this. And they had me, and I tell you no lie, from the moment he said go, in 15 minutes, I was on another floor in front of the operating room. So when they tell you that it goes down like that, I can tell you, it goes down just like that. Let's see what else they say. Patients have told me some wild things while the anesthesia was still wearing off. One old woman told me that she would rather sleep with me than her husband. Oh my goodness. As a group, surgeons are way less professional than you think. Oh Lord, I don't even know if I want to read this. One was arrested for buying crack cocaine from an undercover cop. Another got a stripper pregnant. And another married doctor's stripper girlfriend was seen more than a few times leaving the clinic early in the morning before business hours. Scandalous. Wow. Primary care doctors literally don't know any disease processes anymore, and the majority of patients sent to see a surgeon have no surgical issues. Most of them barely have a diagnosis. They just show up because the PCP doesn't want to deal with their complaints. Wow. Wow. Having trainees like residents and fellows involved in your care actually improves patient outcomes. Don't be the jerk who demands no residents touch you. You will be judged, and you will also be refusing standard appropriate care. I am a trauma emergency general surgery and critical care surgeon. There are many things people don't understand about my job. I think a big one is that the nurses know who is good or bad at what they do. Publications or a well-known name does not mean that you can do the work well. The nurses always know who can't finish a robotic operation and has to open often, who has saved the life of patients near death with quick thinking, who has had a number of complications, and what doctor's bedside manner is reassuring or atrocious. And I can believe that. I don't think nurses are paid for half as much as they need to be paid for. But I bet you they know a whole lot of secrets that go on in that surgery, during that surgery. Man, they must really, really, really see a whole lot. Okay, I'm sorry. I hit something and disconnected me. Please forgive me. All righty. Everyone expects us to sacrifice our own physical and mental health for the bottom line. Hospital systems don't even care about appropriate care for patients. They only care about how much you can work yourself to death to produce reimbursements from insurance. Ooh, your surgeon is likely sleep-deprived, stressed, hassled, and hungry. Please don't be a jerk. Wow. Unless your surgery is the first case of the day, it will not go on time. Okay, okay. We don't judge you for being overweight because of body shaming. We hate that you're overweight because it makes your surgery a lot harder and longer to perform. You also have much slower recovery and higher risk of complications. And I have to say that is true. That is true. That is true. That's the one conversation that I have constantly had. Lose weight, Stephanie. Yeah. We listen to music while operating and judge other surgeons by their music choices and singing voice. Okay. If you have a truly outrageous haircut, we will drag you, including during the operation. Some of the harshest burns I've heard in my life came from dusty old surgeons. Wow. Okay, let's read this one last. Although the surgeon has the responsibility of what happens to the patient while they are in an operating room, there are others who dictate what is done. Insurance companies deny permission for certain procedures. Medicare determines payment after the fact. Hospital managers are always looking for the best price, not the best care. Dictations have to match pre-authorizations, not what was done. Residents leave in the middle of cases when their time is up. And then, of course, there is paperwork. Well, thank God we didn't hear some real things that make you want to pass out. So I want to say thank you, God, because I can only imagine they didn't tell a whole lot of secrets. All right, what are we talking about today? We got a short day. I will be clocking out a little earlier today. So let's see what we're talking about. Yo, what is this about? Did y'all hear on the news? They say that in Nigeria, gunmen have kidnapped at least 287 school children, and they've demanded a ransom of what is equivalent to us over $600,000, excuse me, and threatened to kill all of the students if their demands are not met. Now, it's interesting because they're saying that they kidnapped these kids as a way of getting back at the government and security agencies for killing their gang members. A member of this particular community said he believed the kidnappers got his number from the head of the schools. Oh, boy. Okay. So this person says that the kidnapper got the number from the head of the school's junior secondary section, who was kidnapped also with the students. So initially, there were more than 300 kids that were taken by armed bandits on motorcycles. Now, can you imagine this? On motorcycles, who stormed the primary and secondary school, but they only were able to get away with 287 because the other few somehow were rescued. And they said about 100 of them are from primary school and the rest is from the secondary school. And they said that this is not the first time either. They said in 2021, at least 140 students were kidnapped by armed men from a private secondary school. And they say that incident came just months earlier where 20 students from a private university were abducted, and 5 of those children were killed. Wow. And the reason why they killed those 5 kids was because the ransom deadline was not met. Wow. Wow. These people are crazy. These people are straight crazy. What else are we talking about today? Well, let's see. Oh, I got this story from one of our loyal listeners, as Vivian says. Now, in New Orleans, the police are saying they need a whole entire new building. Why? Because the rats are eating up the weed. Yeah. And they're saying that the rats are high. Yeah. They have this dilapidated building that they've been operating out of. And they say that not only have they been infested with rats, but they are infested with cockroaches as well. And it's gotten so bad that the rats are eating the marijuana that's in the evidence room. And they're saying, oh, the rats are high because they didn't eat all of this weed. Now, they've been begging for a new building to go into, and they have been denied several times. Well, maybe now they say somebody will pay attention, because not only are they experiencing the rat infestation, the cockroach infestation, they say the building has broken elevators, non-functioning plumbing, air conditioning system that's been out of commission since last summer. They say they got a repair bill for all of this that exceeds $6 million. And it just may be better to go to another building. Now, they have a 10-year lease agreement to move to a new building, and it's going to cost them close to $700,000. So they're concerned that if they don't, want to pay this $700,000 for this 10 years, that they're going to keep dealing with all of these rats. And they said that now maybe they'll believe there was some years ago where there was in another location that the people complained that the rats had eaten through the weed in that building. And they got in trouble, those who manned the evidence room got in trouble because they said they didn't believe them. So in other words, right, the rats ate them. Okay. So I don't know if they're being facetious when they say the rats are getting high, or if it's really, true, because they are equating it, because I read a couple of different articles on this. They're equating it to, okay, so if you eat edibles, what happens? So they're like, well, there's no way in the world the rats could eat all of this, all of this weed and not be high. So the powers that be, they're challenging this because they're saying, well, if they ate all of this, then they would be dead, because they know where in the world rats can eat all of that and they not die. Well, I don't know, unless you go and do studies on how much weed a rat could eat before they die, how would you know? But my thing is, if you got complaints of rats and you didn't believe it, but now the evidence locker indicates that this is going down, then I wouldn't be in the building. I don't know about y'all, but I'd have to apply to work someplace else. This could not be an option for me. They say that the droppings are all over the desks and everything. Well, I guess so. If they eating a weed, they got a reason to stick around. Wow. Wow. Ooh, child. What else are we talking about before we get to the due time crew? Let's talk about... let's talk about this father. Now, did I say people are crazy? You know, we talk about the mental health, the emotional health, and physical. These people are crazy. So you've got this father who is on a straight rampage, and he is driving the California judicial system and the judges. Oh, he is really, really putting the pedal to the metal and driving them crazy. So they say he threatened a California Superior Court judge who presided over his case involving his family. Now, it doesn't quite say why he's in, you know, he's going back and forth to court, other than this, something's going on between this man and his son. And they said that he wrote a note via email: "I am more committed to murdering you than I am to being present as a father." And that's what he wrote in a July 23 email directed toward the judge. He says, "You are already dead." Oh, goodness gracious. Email, y'all. Email. That's like putting stuff on Facebook. Really? So this Byram Zuniga Sanchez also threatened other judges, attorneys, and police, and later warned them in October of 23 that he'd carry out a shooting at the courthouse where his family law case took place. He puts in the email, "The remainder of my life will be dedicated to assassinating judges, attorneys, and a police station's entire shift staff." Are you crazy? Now, here's the interesting part. They say that all of this is going on in a California case, but he's now in his country making all these threats. Now, I don't know how all of this is going on, but he is now in his country making the threats back here. I don't know if they're going to extradite him or what, but, of course, the FBI is involved. And they say one of his emails appeared to offer a motive. He said, "I haven't received your resignation, and you failed to justify your existence after all the damage you have caused." But that's as much as they're getting. They're not getting why he's ultimately angry. I guess the judge could really tell the E! True Hollywood story as to what's going on and why this man is so mad. But like I said, all they're putting out there is the fact that this man is going back and forth, or he was going back and forth to court for something with his son. That's all they're saying. So that's why he said, he made the statement about, "I'm more dedicated to killing you than being present for my son," because I guess he figured, well, you know, the fight back and forth for the son is what he's gambling. So he's like, well, you know, I could care less about that at this point. But they say, now check this out. Check this out, y'all. This is one of the reasons why I brought this story. Well, they say prior to the case, he's been accused of several criminal offenses out there in California, including evading police, reckless driving, invasion of privacy, violation of court order, and criminal threats. They say he's also the subject of multiple domestic violence protection orders and a workplace violence order. Well, are you surprised? If he's wreaking hell on the judges and the court people and the police station, you don't think the people who's close to him are having problems? Well, they're saying if he's convicted, he could face up to 5 years in federal prison for each count of threat by interstate and foreign communication. Because remember, I said he's that those threats were being made while he was in his country. But all you could get is 5 years per threat. You didn't care what you said to these people. You didn't care who these people were, and all you could get is 5 years per count. Man, what you got? 100 counts? That's really going to make the difference? What kind of justice system is this? Now, I'm sitting on the bench. I'm minding my business, doing my job, and all you could get is 5 years per offense. Well, unless, like I said, you pad these offenses, because remember now, they're not talking about what he was going to jail, I mean, what he was going back and forth to court about. They're not counting the domestic violence stuff, because that's unrelated to him threatening the judges. So, as Mariah would say. All righty. Oh, let's talk to the Due Time crew, because I got a story that I want to see what they have some thought about. So let's talk to Shantice first, because she jumped on right before Pastor KL, so he may have to be caught up on some of these particular stories. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. Well, let's start talking about, here, what are we going to start this conversation about? Let's talk about the rats eating the weed and the fact that they're saying that the rats are high, but what struck me as even more amusing and interesting was the fact that a few years ago, there was another location who claimed that rats had eaten through the weed in the evidence room, but nobody believed them. And they got into a lot of trouble because they thought that those people were the ones, or was the reason why the weed was gone.
Mhm. Well, I don't. Two things. One, that just reminds me of the scene from Bad Boys when they were acting like the exterminators and going up there, and Mateo had, you know, needed them to come over there because the rats were eating through the money. But I mean, you can tell when there's a mouse or a rat eating through something. There's a particular look, you know, the way that they chew on things and, you know, the holes that they leave. I'm pretty sure the weed was packaged. So now they got to chew through whatever packaging. You know, a human is not doing it like that. You know, so if you're going in there, if they didn't touch anything, you know, so if I'm monitoring, if I'm in charge of this evidence and now you come behind me to, you know, either check up on me because you're my supervisor, or if you're coming to relieve me, and now you go and you see this, you mean to tell me you can't tell that that wasn't a human who didn't try to rip through this weed? Is a human really going to try to rip through the weed like that, or would they possibly just try to take some and, you know, of course, leave the rest? Because if I'm smoking, I know I can't smoke everything. But I'm really, like, how could you not know that that was some type of rodent or something?
Mm-hmm. Right, because you know what it looks like for mice to eat through things. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you believe the mice are, the rats are high? Huh?
I believe that there is some type of effect. You know, they, of course, they're not humans, but, you know, with this whole TCH thing, that even when they put the TCH in the lotions and the thing, you may not be getting high, but it's doing something, even if you say you can't feel it, because when you get tested, you show a positive. You know, so I believe that there's something going on with their little bodies, even if they don't feel the type of high we as humans feel. But that would be hilarious if they're high now. That might be an easier way to catch them. So instead of putting mouse traps down, maybe you just weed down or some TCH products, so they'll be woozy. Well, but I do believe that there may be something going on with them after they've consumed that.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you say about this dad, as they term it, who's like threatening judges and the police station and all of these different threats that he committed while he was away in his country because of what was going on in a court case, and all they're giving him is 5 years per charge?
Well, I'm sorry, because I kind of missed that part. So he was threatening on behalf of who?
Him. He's going back and forth to court. They haven't quite said that, you know, what the case is. They, in all this article, there's no real definitive explanation other than there's some family court issue. Now, you can kind of get some semblance of understanding, because they're saying that he had a domestic violence protective order against him.
Okay.
So maybe him and the child's mother, something, or maybe with the kids, something to that effect. And they were, you know, going back and forth to court. And he's been threatening all of the people in the case. And he's doing it via email because, again, email can go wherever you want, and he was in his country at the time. So now they're saying he can only get 5 years per charge.
Well, I mean, if he's threatening, that's just self-explanatory right there. If he's threatening at this process, then what was he doing that led up to this? So now you're only giving him 5 years. I think there should possibly be a little more time, because he's already showing you who he is and why there's even a case.
Right. When I saw the thing when he said a domestic violence protective order, workplace protective order. Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Now you're terrorizing everybody's emails? Absolutely not. There needs to be more time.
All righty. Thanks for joining us today. Let's talk to our, let's talk to Pastor KL. See what he's got to say about these cases here. Good morning, Pastor KL.
What a do. Good morning to you.
Wow, we got a new greeting. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. Well, this morning we're talking about the rats getting high and the fact that they've been chewing through the evidence locker's weed. And prior to this, there was another building who was experiencing this same issue, but nobody believed them because they were like, listen, and no rats ate through no weed supply. But now they have evidence of this particular occurrence. What you thinking?
Man, listen, from back in the days in my former life, you know, I didn't always live up on high on the hill. I used to live in some places that had a few, you know, a few little pets, if you will. And I learned that they can get through anything. You know, a lot of times they tell you to put steel wool down, but they can't chew through steel wool. So, yeah, I believe it wholeheartedly that they can get through it.
Oh, yeah, especially rats. Now, do you think that the rats are high?
They was in there jamming to Three Blind Mice, baby. They were jamming. They were jamming. Yes, they were high.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What should they do with this dad, who they're calling him, Mr. Zuniga, who is threatening all of the judges, all the police? What did he say? Somebody, everybody on this particular police shift, you know, the judges are saying that they have this increased stress, anxiety, and sleepless nights. And what they're threatening him with is 5 years per charge. Is that sufficient enough?
He's laughing. I mean, that's all you're going to charge me? He laughing. You know, first of all, to do all that thing, I think you on suicide watch. But there's no way in the world, you know, me as a man of color, I'm going to be threatening judges and police and all this other stuff, and they're going to tell you how much time I'm going to get? No, I'm going to be on a poster that says wanted, dead or alive.
You know what? You probably got that right. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that he's they're saying this in advance, that this is as much as he can expect to get 5 years per charge. Because remember now, they're not talking about his court cases that he's already got pending. They're just talking about the charges that he's been sending these emails threatening the judges and the other people that are involved. So I don't know, Pastor K.L.
I guess another question that I would have was, how are you that connected and that prolific that you have emails for these folks?
Well, been waiting for somebody to bring that up. Absolutely. How do you have a direct email address to a judge? How does that even happen? So I would say there's some inside connection as well.
Mm-hmm. Sound like Pastor Charlene is back up here.
Right, who you know? Who is it that you know? Okay, so this is something. This is something to raise your eyebrow. I've been waiting for somebody to say it. How you email? I kept saying it, keep saying he emailed in July. He emailed in October. And I'm like, how? How do you even know how to get to people like that? Yep. Well, Pastor K.O., you hit the nail on the head. Let's see what
One more thing. So when you're doing this stuff in computers, the IP, you're supposed to be able to find your address of where this email is coming from. So how did they not catch you yet?
Right. No, they did. Yes, the FBI is involved, because remember, once you do emails and things like that, that's a federal offense, and that's one of the things he's being charged with. So, yes, that's how they were able to snag him. That's why I said, and I think it was before you got on, I was first talking about it, emails, really, like, you, that's worse than sending social media. Email.
Right, paper trail.
Right. It's like, well, how stupid are you? Yes. So what you're saying is making a whole lot of sense, Pastor K.L. Thank you for joining us this morning. Let's talk to our girl, Vivian, and see what she's got to say. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. So you got this issue with these rats in the locker, in the evidence locker room. Would you still be in the building is my question.
If it's a job, no. If it's that bad, I would have to find another place. They would have to transfer me, or I would have to find another job. I don't have to go through that at work now. Come on.
You know, they're saying that they're rats, cockroaches. They're saying that the building doesn't have elevators. They don't have, the air conditioning. The air conditioning, it broke down last year. And on top of that, the rats got droppings all over the place, all over their desks, all over the place. And they still sitting up in there waiting for them to transfer the building. Wow. Oh, my. All the rats high, Vivian.
I would say yes, because I've been seeing videos of pets like cats and dogs, which are a little bigger, but I've been seeing them when they get to their owners' edibles and they, you know, and they'd be walking around high and acting high. So I would think that the rats can get high.
She said acting high. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. I would like to think so. You know, a lot of times they do experiments on, like, rats. And, I mean, they're not, like, the street rats or nothing like that. But they do use these rodents as, you know, guinea pigs. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. All right, Vivian, you've got this dad who is sending threatening emails over to the judges and all these people that have anything to do with his court case. And they want to charge him 5 years per count. Is that enough?
You know, I was thinking about people, because we did the story of the stalkers, and you know the amount of stories that came from that episode is crazy. And one common thing that they all are saying is that the police don't do anything when they report this stuff. And I think about all the people who died because, you know, they tried to get help from people who were stalking them or harassing them, and this is a similar situation. And those people, though, are not able to get the help that they need. Those people are not, you know, going to jail. They say we can't do anything until he causes physical harm or things like that. So this is kind of similar to that. And for him to be threatening and even and receive any time is better than what civilians are getting. So I would say yes. They're getting a little bit more of a privilege that he can email you and threaten you, and now you're going to jail for threats. Because we don't get that privilege as civilians. They have to actually put hands on you or harm someone in your family for you to get them put behind bars.
Wow. Something to think about. Wow. He now that you say that, I'm looking here at one of his quotes. He says, "With access to a weapon, it is easier for me to walk into a courthouse and indiscriminately assassinate because I've already notified lawyers and judges." Now, he wrote that on Instagram. Wow. And the next month, he threatened to shoot the courthouse up. So, like you said, I guess, you know, with these threats, you know, if they're taking some action, then I guess that's better than no action at all, because, like you said, there are people out here who die with the court order. You know, the protective order. You know, how many times they said that there were women who died with the protective order on the coffee table, if you will, in the drawer, if you will. So I guess, you know, it's a good point you're bringing up. Something is better than nothing. So let's just hope he gets those 100, those 100 charges, and that way it'll kind of add up to something. All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, Vivian. We have a story here. So you have this woman who is now heartbroken because she's won, and we've heard this all last year. This was really huge about the funeral homes who are not taking care of the bodies that they have been entrusted to. Yeah, they've been entrusted to these bodies, or these bodies have been entrusted to them, rather, and they have not been doing the job. So they somehow or another ended up at this funeral home in England where they say they recovered 35 deceased people who had not been cared for properly. Now, they say that they actually were able to do some sifting through, and they started locating the families of these people who had bodies, their bodies were found in the funeral home. So they spoke to some woman, and now she's upset because they told her that they had found her husband's remains, and they cremated him. And now they're telling her, well, you have to come and identify your husband's body. And she's saying, well, wait a minute. We cremated who they told me was my husband. And not only did we cremate him, but somehow or another, they have now turned the ashes into jewelry. And they've been wearing the jewelry around their neck, on their wrists. They have been hanging up the jewelry throughout the house. And the woman's daughter and granddaughter said that they paid quite a bit of money to have these ashes, their beloved ashes, turned into crystal jewelry. And now you're opening up a wound again, because here I thought I was wearing my husband, but yet I got to come and identify my husband's body. All right. Now, they say this is not the only instance, of course, because if they got 35 bodies, they didn't have to notify at least 35 people. But they're saying that they've received more calls because now that the word is out that this particular funeral home did not do what they were supposed to do, now the people are wondering if there's some other bodies that they were told that this is your family member, this is your beloved, and that really wasn't them. So I don't know, Shantese, what comes to your mind when you think about this here?
I'm still stuck on the come and identify your loved one's ashes. Like, how am I supposed to be able to
No, the bodies are ashes. The bodies are ashes. They found 35 bodies, and they were able to part the names and bodies and all of that kind of stuff. So now they gave her a body to that she took to a crematory, and then took the ashes and made them into crystal jewelry.
I think this cremation has just been taken to a whole other level. You know, outside of there just being so much negligence going on, and it's just really disturbing because it's not like, oh, this is a mix up because this is something that we don't normally do, or this is something new that we've, you know, implemented into, you know, this arena. So, you know, it's a little chaotic, but we're going to get it together. This is what y'all do. This is the basis of the business. How is it now that there's so much chaos? Now, this, you're going to get, you know, the cremation, and that happens, and now there's jewelry being made. I don't want to wear my mother. I love her. She's great. But I don't want to wear her. That's just taking it way too far at this point. It's like, why is that a thing? How did that become a thing? Why is that comfortable? You know, so now you already have to now worry about everyone doing their job. And then now on top of that, we're now taking this whole process and adding on to it. That's just a bit much for me.
All righty. Pastor KL, what comes to your mind?
Well, first of all, when my wife becomes more valuable dead than alive, that's a problem right there. You know, you make your jewelry and all types of fashion. You know, I didn't want you to hug me when we were married and you was alive. Now I want to wear you. No, that right there to me is, oh my God. But all of a sudden now you want me to come identify? No, I'm okay. We got them. We got them already. Whoever you got there, do what you need to do. But I'm okay. I don't want to relive that. Cause now I got to feel like, well, who am I wearing? Who's on my wrist? Who's on my neck? You know what I mean? I paid all this money after you die to make it crystals. I might have crystals. I might have the wrong person. So, yeah, I got a problem with that.
He said he may have crystal. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Vivian, what comes to your mind?
A lot of people must have been slacking on their responsibilities because when my aunt passed, the viewing, you know, her body was laying in an open casket. Then immediately after, they took that body, and we were able to literally watch them cremate her. So we saw her body going into the fire. So how were they able to get away with cremating whoever and handing off these ashes to this family and holding on to his body? That doesn't make sense to me. Because usually when they do it, you're there to view it. So I don't even understand how that was able to happen. Secondly, that'll fix people with how they are idolizing these dead, at the end of the day, these bodies that now I'm going to go and take my husband's ashes and make them into jewelry. His body is gone. Why are we wearing it on our bodies and hanging it around the home? What is that supposed to do? So that'll fix these people about how they're idolizing these bodies and these dead people once they have gone. And if it were me and I heard that this funeral home where I buried my husband or my sister or whomever was now, you know, having to make these calls that, you know, actually who you thought you buried or who you thought you cremated was not actually there. I'm not calling to find out if my sister or my husband is there. If they don't call me, I don't want to know because whoever I thought was in the ground is in the ground. I'm not going out of my way to now find out if my loved one's body or ashes, well, body is one of the bodies that y'all are talking about.
Okay. We got a comment from a listener. I've heard of people paying some pay for putting ashes in lockets, but not into actual jewelry. Can't trust anyone to do their jobs. Now, thank you for your comment. You know, that in addition to some of the other stuff that y'all have said, you three of you have said, that some of those things went through my own mind. A, if you then, you know, told me, you know, that, you know, one of the things she's complaining about, which is making a big deal, one of the big deals about this article, or in this article they're bringing out, is the fact that now she has to go through this process all over again. And my thing is, then what? Who did you see the first time? Who did you see the first time? How did they tell you this was your family's body the first time? Remember last year we did a story of the family who went to identify their family member at the funeral home, but realized at that time it wasn't the person who they said it was supposed to be. So my question is, how do you even get past that? Number two, this going back and having to identify the body. You know, some people who said that they would even leave that body. Now, Vivian said that, no, I'm not calling back to find out if, did y'all really get my family's body right? But what happens if they call you to identify who they feel? Do you go, Shantice? Somebody says, okay, well, you know, your husband is deceased and we found his body here. You think you've buried your husband or cremated your husband and wearing him around your neck. Do you go back to really see if that's really your husband?
I don't know, because I'm trying to envision myself getting this phone call after I just buried someone that important to me. And now, like they said, the revisiting. I think it's even deeper than just the revisiting. I not only have to revisit this, but I have to now pay for your mistake. That's, you're not having to pay for this mistake by yourself. So now, not only do you expect me to come in and identify this body, because on a norm, you don't have to do that. When the body gets sent to the funeral home, there's no you going, no. Now you got to go to the funeral home and identify the body. So now I got to do a process that technically shouldn't have to be done at your business. So now I got to deal with that, plus the feelings I got because you messed up. So I'm supposed to compose myself while I'm here to face your mistake. I don't know about doing that and the cops not being called. So I don't think I would go. I don't know if I would possibly send someone else who I know I could trust to, you know, hold their composure, because that, I don't even know how, I couldn't even be the one to make that phone call. I work at the funeral home, whether it was my direct mistake or I'm representative, you know, I'm an employee, and you couldn't get me to make that phone call. Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jackson, but can you please come in and just identify, because 4 months ago we thought it was your husband, but we just want to make sure. I'm not going to be the one to make that phone call. Absolutely not. I don't know about going, because that's just way too many emotions and thoughts that have to be tamed while I now come up here to re-identify something. That's just too much.
Okay. And that's the biggest thing that this woman says she's going through, to have to actually go backwards. And, you know, that's the first complaint that she has. Pastor KL, would you go and identify the body? Because, again, I ask, when you identified the body before cremation, or did you identify the body before the cremation took place? You know, you thought this was your family member, and now they're asking you to come back. Would you go back?
I will definitely go back. You know, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. There is a lawsuit coming with my name on it. You know, my wife is definitely worth more dead than alive. Now, I'm wearing crystal, so I wear my side piece, but I'm gonna get money from my wife this time. Yeah, I'm gonna get some money. I'm going to get some money.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay. Vivian, you said you would not stir up the pot if you didn't know, but what if they called you to identify this body that they say was your loved one's body, you know, without a shadow of a doubt? Would you go back?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Pastor K. I was thinking that now there's a lawsuit and possibly some money that I can get from your mistake. I'm definitely going to take advantage of that opportunity. And plus, I would want to know. I would definitely want to know. I wouldn't want to sit there and wonder, well, could it have been him? Should I have gone? Is he really where I put him? So I would definitely want to, you know, pretty much get the closure that I need. And I wouldn't be expecting to pay anything after I had already paid to bury whomever I thought I was burying. But I would definitely want to be able to know for sure.
Okay, okay. The second issue here is the fact that, hey, this, who am I wearing around my neck? Who am I wearing on my wrist? Is this idolatry, Shantese?
Absolutely. Because why, again, why has this been taken to a whole? So you go from the cremation to now, okay, I want to, you know, spread the ashes over this water or bury the ashes or whatever you, you know, you decide to do with the ashes, to some people put it in an urn and they keep it on their fireplace, on their mantle, dresser, whatever. Now, I'm walking around with your body on me. How can you not see that as idolatry? How can you not see that as you paying so much attention, giving so much? You got people who talk to the pictures. I have someone tell me that every night they put the funeral cards, like when they have the funeral, they get the cards out, and,
right,
and they put the funeral cards and the programs up on, like, I think like a pulpit type of thing or whatever they do, and they pray to the people. And I'm like, how is, first of all, that's creepy to even hear. So I don't even want to be in the same room as you while you're doing this. But how is this making sense? And how can we not see this as, now you're putting these people before God? It's idolatry to, and people don't notice this, but when you go to visit your loved one's grave and you're sitting there talking to them, that's idolatry. You're talking to the dead. So now that attention, all of that you're giving to that person who's no longer here, that's what we're supposed to be giving to God. But now you're telling me you're giving that to that person. They're not here. They can't hear us. They can't see us. But now I'm going to walk around with your body, and I'm not going to be look what they do with the crosses. There's so much, you know, something goes on, and I'm pretty sure everyone's, you know, has witnessed it, whether it's in person or on TV, whatever. People who wear the cross around their neck, if something happened and they hold it, and it's like, ooh, gosh, you know, help me get through this. They're talking to that cross. They're talking all of this that we're supposed to be doing to the Father, doing with the Son. You're now giving that attention and that credit to the people. That's just way, way too much. And again, why are we so comfortable walking around wearing the ashes?
All righty. Pastor Kale, you know, the listener wrote in and said, I've heard about people wearing ashes around their neck, you know, putting it in like a little charm thing and wearing it around their neck. These people have made jewelry now. Is this idolatry?
That's definitely without a doubt idolatry. I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing about jewelry and stuff. You know, my wife and I had a dog, and we really loved the dog. And after a year, the dog had cancer, so we had to put the dog down. Now this dog was 180 pounds, and my crazy wife said we don't put it down, but she wanted the ashes. So my question was, where was the ashes going? Because when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to look at Scooby-Doo. It was a Great Dane, so we look just like Scooby-Doo. I don't want to look at Scooby-Doo. I love Scooby, but there's no. I want to say, Scooby, where are you? I don't want to know where you are. You know what I mean? So I don't understand why these folks want to do this. Once you pass on to glory, get your wings, if you will, fly away. I don't want you in my house, let alone I don't want you around my neck. And at this point, if I made the mistake of making all this great jewelry, I'm going to the pawn shop once I realize that's not you. But maybe I can get my money back.
Wow. Wow. All righty now. Vivian, you already stated that you feel it's idolatry. Would you like to add anything else to this conversation or to this area?
Yeah, I said it was idolatry because of the amount of weight they put on these, whatever it is, whether it's jewelry or the grave site. When you are, like, I've heard of stories where they, during, like, holidays and things, they set out a place at the table for this person, and they got the picture there and things like that, and how much credit they give to these people. You know, if you're putting it around your house, you're thinking that this person is now protecting your home. You're wearing this around your neck, so this person is always with you, protecting you, and all this kind of stuff. You're giving credit that belongs to God to this person who is now dead. That is absolutely idolatry. How can you even move on when you're wearing your husband's ashes on your neck or in your home and things like that? Like, they definitely take this stuff too far. The body is a body. The person is gone. They're asleep. They're gone. They can't help you. They can't do anything for you at this point. Let it go, move on, and stop idolizing this person that's now gone. To spend your money, to turn this person into jewelry, that's a waste of money. Why are we doing this? That's absolutely idolatry.
Pastor Steph, well, I got a question maybe you can answer. So here, I meet a woman, and you got John around your neck. And you tell me as your new man that this is John. How long do you think I'm going to stay with you and John? There's not enough room for me in your life if you have not let John go. So much that you got him around your neck. No, baby, I got to go because John might come back.
Actually, I was going to kind of touch on that in my closing because there's been some things that are going through my mind as you all have been speaking, and we got a comment from a listener. I would have to go see the body if still around. They were paid to do their job. Then, now, or what ashes do you have on your body? I agree. If the dead knows nothing and all their plans cease with them according to God's word, it would be idolatry. So we've got, you know, some of the listeners who actually agree with you three. We have a short show today, so we're going to shut this down. But thank you so much for your really, really, really good food for thought. We thank you for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. All righty. You know, I got to tell you, you know, as they were talking, a whole lot of stuff was coming across my mind, including what this issue about this, the dead knows nothing. So I actually, that's where my head went as well. But, you know, first of all, when we talk about, you know, again, you know, this was not the first time we've heard of, you know, some people running the funeral home. And we just not that long ago, there was a couple who had many, many bodies they found in this funeral home that they had not taken care of properly. You know, if you have a loved one, or if I had a loved one, rather, who actually passed away, and then you told me later that, hey, you know, so-and-so is here. The body is here, and I thought you gave me the body already. I'd have to go back just for the closure of it. You know, I need to really see if, you know, who this person is. It wasn't, but again, I go back to ask, what happened to the first identifying of the body? What did you see? Did you see a literal body? Did somebody just tell you that this was so, what happened? Because my thing is, isn't that supposed to take place the first go around? So I'd have to go back. Number two, I definitely have a lawsuit, as has been said. This idolatry thing, this thing with this, I didn't turn the ashes into crystal. This is a little too much for me. It way too much for me. You know, when are you parting? At what point do you part? We serve God, and I think this is the part that just keeps hitting me. As a Christian person, we serve God, and we trust that whatever his decision is his decision. Do we want our loved ones to have left us to go? They're going to pass on? Absolutely not. It is the most crushing thing to happen to you, is to have to separate from your loved one. So are you telling God, when you go and you take these ashes and you wear it around your neck and you put these ashes and turn them into some kind of jewelry, some crystals or whatever it is that they're doing, again, I ask, as I always say, what are you saying to God? That I can't part with this person so much that I've got to wear them on my body? You know, I've got to wear them around my neck. Is that what you're saying to God? Are you saying to God that, you know what, you took this person way before the time I could digest this, and this is how I'm learning to live with this? What does that say to the people who are closest to you? How do you move on? How are you moving on? Which goes back to what Pastor KL said, which is what my thought was. Well, if I'm wearing my husband's jewelry as crystal, and you decide you want to now date, eventually it's going to come out that your husband is being worn around your neck. And what does that person say? Because you have clearly not parted, as Pastor KL said, with John. And is that okay with the people who want to be involved with you, have a relationship with you? Again, this is why you need to move on, because life does go on. We can't tell you how long to mourn. We can't tell you how long to, you know, cry or whatever the situation is, but you need to adjust to the reality. And again, you know, we're not telling you how quickly you need to do this, but you need to do this. And wearing little John John around your neck, around your wrist, is not moving on. And why would a person want to be involved with you if you haven't moved on, not only in your head, not only in your heart, but now I got to sit and watch you religiously put this jewelry on? Nah, I'll pass. So let's get ourselves together and let's have that closer relationship with the Lord. And that way, you'll be much better and you won't have to be wearing people around your neck and all that kind of stuff. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us in this conversation. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship in the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. You can see what happens when you don't keep that relationship going with the Lord. Strengthen that relationship with the Lord. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Freestyle Friday. Until then,